much, Tom. And thank you to you all for the invitation to be with you here today and to share a little bit about CAP and reflect a bit upon that passage that Tom read to us. I have to say I'm very tempted to come back next week for chocolate. But you know, it's only an hour away, but you know, I hope you enjoy chocolate and enjoy that. Can you hear me okay? That's great. So I thought I would start today. Well, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. So I am Deb Spinney, and currently I've been working for CAP for 4 years, and I am a debt centre manager. So I run the debt centre in Bristol Northwest area. But very sadly, due to COVID, I guess really, our centre is closing at the end of this year. Which I'm gutted about. So if you want to hold that in your prayers, that would be great, but it is closing at the moment unless some other churches can come on board and take the centre over, which has not yet happened. So we keep praying and we keep believing. Maybe it'll close and it'll reopen, I don't know. However, I still will be out and about with CAP, so I am on the speaker team, which is why I'm here today talking to you. So I cover the South West region, and I'm also a CAP money coach, newly trained last year during COVID, which means I can deliver the CAP money course in various places. A CAP money course is about helping people budget, learn how to budget. So although I won't be a debt centre manager anymore, I will still be involved with CAP, who I feel very passionate about the charity and the work that we do. And just to say, if you want to know a little bit more, on Songs of Praise today, which is at 1:15, for some obscure reason, our CEO, Paula, will be talking on Songs of Praise today about CAP and the work we do. So if you want to find out what she has to say, just tune into Songs of Praise then, or catch up on BBC iPlayer later. So, does anybody here remember Bruce Forsyth, Play Your Cards Right? Anybody remember that? Oh, good. So you remember that game where he had the cards and you have to say if something was higher or lower? Well, I'm going to play a version of that with you this morning, okay? So I hope you're up for that. And if you, I'm going to give you a piece of information in a moment. And if you agree, if you think the answer is higher, can you please put your thumbs up? Are you able to do that? Yeah, just have a practice, put your thumbs up. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everybody. And if you think it's going to be lower, you put your thumbs down, okay? Now, I don't want any of this, like, you know. Sometimes people go, oh, I'm not sure, devs. So I want a definite yes, higher or lower. Is that okay? So the first one, thank you, Donald, is this. Okay, next slide. Okay, so all of these statistics are taken from our 2019 CAP report, okay? So, in 2019, what percentage of clients go without heating on a daily basis, all right? So I'm going to suggest that 10% of our clients go without heating on a daily basis. So if you think it's higher, you're going to put your thumbs up. And if you think it's lower, you're going to put your thumbs down. Okay? So just make a decision. Doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Are you going to have a go, Graham? You should remember the answers, right? Yeah. Okay, so you all think it's higher. So the actual answer, Donald, is 20%. So well done. It is higher. So if you think about it, out of the CAP clients that we work with, 1/5 of them go without heating on a daily basis. I think that's quite shocking when I look at that statistic. And just this last week, I was in a focus group with CAP talking about universal credit, the top-up being taken away. And we were starting to talk about, well, we used to talk about, you know, if people are lacking money, will they choose between heat or eat? You know, that's the choice. But now we're thinking there won't be a choice, there will be no heating and there will be no eating because of people having less money, fuel prices going up, food prices going up. So we're getting to quite a crisis time in our nation. Okay, thank you, Donald. The next one. What percentage of our clients live without carpets or curtains? So I've suggested 17%. So again, if you think it might be a higher statistic, put your thumbs up. If you think it's lower, put your thumbs down. Oh, okay. Tom's going definite down. Oh, you can't do the middly thing. You can if you want, but you know. Okay, so the actual answer is 28%. That means 28% of people on average that I meet when I'm out working will go without a carpet or curtains. And I can tell you that for a fact, because when I was working with a lady down in Lawrence Weston in Bristol, you know, she did not have a carpet on the floor of her children's bedroom. That was a fact. We were able to get a grant to buy one for her. I've also had a client in the last few months who didn't have any curtains in the lounge. And again, we managed to secure a grant for her to buy some curtains. And we also gave her some other curtains for her house. In fact, we just had some, didn't we, that we wanted. We'd got some new ones, so we gave them to her. And we work with a charity called Acts 435 that you might have heard of. They're a Christian charity. And basically, you put up a need on their board online, and if people want to give money for it, they give money to it. And then you have the money to get the item. Okay, next one. What percentage of clients do not have a bed or a mattress for a bed? I've put 3% as a suggestion. So again, do you think this is going to be higher or lower? Okay. It feels like everything's higher, yeah. We've got one lower. Okay, great. Thank you. The actual answer is, yeah, it is higher, 15%. 15% of people don't have a mattress on their bed or a bed. Again, a couple of years ago, I went to see a guy in another area of Bristol, and I went into his lounge, and you know, he had one of those Z beds. That was his bed. So he did have a bed, but it's not what I call a comfy bed, you know. It's not a quality bed. It had this kind of very thin, dirty mattress lying on top of it. Okay, next one. What percentage of clients will go without a meal on a daily basis? So I've suggested 24%. So if you think it's higher, thumbs up. If you think it's lower, thumbs down. Okay, thank you. And the answer is, it is actually lower, but it's not much lower. Okay. And what my experience has shown me is actually the people that go without the meals are normally mums in a family. So the mum will make sure the children have food and they are fed. And then mum will have to go without the food on that daily basis. So I think that was all of them. Let's just check. That's it. We'll stop there. Thank you. This is a guy called Simon, by the way, on there. And we'll be finding out about his story a bit later on. Okay. So the truth of the matter is that, you know, there are still people in the United Kingdom living in poverty and deprivation. And I think we're only going to see those numbers getting higher. As furlough comes to an end, as that universal credit top-up comes to an end, as the fuel prices go up and food prices go up, you know, we are going to see more and more people in poverty, or in worse poverty than they are now. And that's just material poverty. You know, how about spiritual poverty, social poverty, relational poverty? I think we've learned during COVID, haven't we, that there are a lot of people who feel they are isolated, that they don't belong anywhere. And more people feel that they are, yeah, they're just isolated. That's kind of relational poverty. And we know there's spiritual poverty out there, don't we? We know that people don't have faith. We know that people don't believe in any God, let alone believe in Jesus, who we believe to be our Lord and Saviour. There is that spiritual poverty as well. So let me talk a bit about what CAP does to help the people in need. I'll tell you a little about what we do, what difference it makes to the one person that we help. And maybe think about, what is God asking you to do as a church? Or how is he asking you to respond as a church? And I think Tom mentioned earlier that something is going to happen in Tewkesbury. I'm not sure what that is, but some CAP service. Maybe you think about, well, actually, could we partner with that church to actually offer some of the CAP services that there are to help people in need? So CAP offers a number of services across the UK. As I said, I'm involved in the Debt Help Service at the moment, and that is offering free debt counselling across the United Kingdom and beyond. So if we could put the next slide up, thank you. And so the work that I'm involved in is I go to clients' houses, again, now that COVID is not as bad as it was, and I talk to people, I take in information about their income, their expenditures, their assets and their debts, and then I send all that information to head office, and then on the next slide, head office then will look at their case, and then they will recommend a route out of debt. And they are the two main routes up there. So there's a repayment route. So if people have got enough disposable income a month, they can start repaying their debts. But CAP will negotiate with their creditors to get a good deal for them. Or the second route is the insolvency route, a debt relief order or a bankruptcy. But of course, the crazy thing about becoming insolvent is you have to pay to become insolvent. So it's £90 if you need a debt relief order, and it's about £635, something like that now, for a bankruptcy. And at CAP, we try and we apply for trust funds. We've got a bursary to help people pay for the insolvency. And quite honestly, more and more of our clients coming through now are in need of a bankruptcy or a debt relief order. So it's gone up to something like 60% of our clients now have an insolvency of some kind, and only 40% have got enough money to repay their debts. It used to be the other way around, but that is how things have been going. So I would then take the advice to the client, and the client would sign up to work with us. If it's repayment, they pay us a lump sum each month and we pay their creditors from that. If it's insolvency, we write out all the application for them, they check it, and then that gets sent to the insolvency service. So that's the kind of work that I'm involved in currently, and that's what a debt centre would do. And that is how CAP started back in 1996 when John Kirkby started it. It was about helping people out of debt. There are other services which I'll mention a bit later on. So we're just celebrating 25 years. John Kirkby's just retired from CAP after 25 years service. But CAP is still going, CAP is still strong. We're still out there helping people. So I think next slide. Yeah, we'll just leave that, thank you. So we have a mission or a vision as a charity, and our vision used to be to serve the poor, save the lost with the church across the nation. And it still is at the heart of CAP. But we now talk about transforming people's lives, helping the church to thrive, and seeking an end to poverty. So that vision has just come out in the last week or so. That is what CAP is about, transforming people's lives out of debt for the better, and holistically transforming lives. You know, debt is usually just one issue. There are loads of other issues that clients have. Helping the church to thrive, so supporting churches like yourselves who want to reach out into the community and want to help people in need. And then ending poverty. So CAP works at top level with government to bring an end to poverty. Now, we are not simply a social service, okay? So we do help people, and that's really important to us. But as it says on our banner, we are Christians against poverty. So we believe it's really important to share the gospel with people, to tell people about Jesus, because he is the one that can transform people's lives. So at the heart of our work, yes, we're serving the poor, we're helping those in need, but we are also seeking to share Jesus with people. So when I am with people, I always offer to pray with them, for example, at the end of my visits. And I would say most people take me up on that. Even if they have no faith, they still want me to pray with them. And so we do pray and we do see people's lives transformed. We do see people become Christians. That is the truth through the work that we do and the services that we have. So yes, we do help people, but we're more than that. We are telling people about Jesus. And on our banner, you'll see it says, always hope. That is our tagline. There's always hope in Jesus, which I noticed over there on your little banner. Hope and love, you know, through Jesus. That's what it's about. And I suppose, you know, the other day I met this client, and he was quite a difficult person to deal with. It wasn't that he was aggressive, but he was so full of himself, right? He knew all the answers. And I was like, I wonder why he asked me to come and help him, because he knows all the answers. And he didn't really want to listen to anything. But I just let him go on, and I went through all the stuff I had to do. And at the end of it, I said, would you like me to pray for you? So he'd already told me that he came from a Catholic background, so he had some kind of faith. But I said, you know, would you like me to pray with you? Yeah, that would be great. Okay, what would you like me to pray about? Can you pray for world peace? I said, yeah, I can pray for world peace. But I said to him, what would you like me to pray for you? And do you know what? He stopped for a moment, and then he started crying. And then he told me what he wanted me to pray for him. And all of that bravado was just bravado. And underneath was he's a very poorly sick man, very vulnerable man. So anyway, I went to try and do the next visit with him. And because at that time, I couldn't go to his home, so it was in a church. And he couldn't come, and he didn't want to come. So I spoke to him on the phone. He said, look, he said, I don't want to carry on with Cap. He said, I don't want to carry on with Cap, he said, because I got myself in the mess, and I want to get myself out of the mess, and I don't want to bring my partner and my children into it, because for Cap, we work with households. We don't work with individuals in a household. I said, okay, that's fine. But he said to me, he said, Debs, you have given me something more than a debt relief order can give me. I said, okay, that's good, that's interesting. He said, you have given me my faith back. And I'm like, wow, that was amazing. I just prayed for him that once, but he told me that since he'd left the church, he had felt God's presence with him, and he had felt God's presence in the church, and he had gone home, and that had reignited his faith. So, as I said, we're not just about helping people, we want people to know Jesus. Or to refine Jesus. So let me think about. Oh, I think these might be in the wrong order. Never mind. Okay. So I just want to then think about, like, why do we do this work? Why is Cap doing the work that Cap is doing? So let me just take you back to the passage that Tom read for us. And I think the next slide will give us the two verses that are the key verses that I'm going to look at today. But before I start looking at this particular story, Graham and I have been married, how many years have we been married? 15, something like that, yeah. Almost 15, yeah. Well done for remembering. but I remember the planning for the wedding, okay? Now, if you've ever been involved in a planning for a wedding, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's a bit of a minefield, I think, when you're planning for a wedding. Now, I'll tell you why it's a bit of a minefield, because you've got to work out who are you inviting to the church, who are you inviting to the reception, and who do you leave out? You got that, haven't you, to sort out? And then when you've got the reception sorted out, you need to work out, okay, you've got the top table. Who sits at the top table? What order did the people at the top table sit? Is this ringing any bells to anybody here? Yes, good, okay. And then once you've sorted out who's sitting at the top table and the order that they're sitting at, you then got to work out where are the other people sitting and is their table close to the top table? Because it seems to me that the closer your table is to the top, the closer you are. Yeah, so my family, Graham's family, your aunts and your uncles, they need to be close to the top table. And then as you get further away, You've got your friends, but they're obviously not as important in one way. So you've got all of that kind of minefield, haven't you, to work out when you're trying to work out what you're going to do at a wedding. So when we hear this story today, we have got this story where it's in Jewish culture, and it's exactly the same thing. So where you sit at the table denotes your importance in Jewish culture. So the closer you sit to the host, the more important or significant you are in the Jewish culture. It's like sitting next to the bride or the groom at a wedding. But at this meal, Jesus sees that people are jostling for position, and they're trying to raise their own status. So what is Jesus' response to all of that? Well, you've probably read those verses again already. So this is the crux of the issue for Jesus. He says, when you go to a meal, you're not to jostle for position and status. And even more than that, when you host a meal and you invite other people to attend, you shouldn't just invite those who are able to give back to you, because then you're given, being paid back for what you have given. So we give in the hope often ourselves that we will get back. But Jesus is saying we're to invite those who are not able to invite us back. They cannot pay us back for what we've given them, but we are to give to them. And later on in the other parable, he says, you know, we are to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind to the meal. If you like, in society today, we're talking about helping those that are lost, or the last, or the least, or the lonely. And we are called to invite people who cannot repay us. We are called to give generously, however that might be, and not to expect anything in return. So at the wedding that I was talking about, it would mean that there is no top table. You abandon the top table. You don't have status, you don't have position, there's just equality in the room. And even more than that, we don't just limit our guests to the family and friends that we like and the people we get on with, but we invite in the disadvantaged too, those who are lost, the last, the least, and the lonely. And God is calling us to be generous as his people and to expect nothing back in return. We're not to be motivated by that desire for position or status or to be repaid. Instead, we're called to be like Jesus, to seek to build his kingdom and live out his kingdom values in our lives. We're called to be generous to those who cannot give back. And that's a reflection of the God who we love and who loves us. And we know God is generous, don't we? If you think about his death on the cross, that shows God's generosity to us. He showed his grace towards us, his love for us, his compassion and his forgiveness. All of those things reflect God's generosity towards us. And so we are called to be like Christ ourselves in our attitudes, our behaviours and our actions. We're called to give generously, even if others cannot repay us. This is why CAP exists and why we do what we do. We believe that when Jesus said these things in this parable, that we are to listen to them and to put them into action, to be generous people in the things that we do. So I would just like to give you a moment to hear about Simon. So Simon is the guy who you've seen in the picture so far. But I just want to show you a video clip of Simon's story. Thank you, Donald.
My now deceased wife used to look after the finances. She was the one that was good with the money, where I wasn't. And I'd built up quite a lot of severe debt, unmanageable debt. So I was living in fear of eviction. I'd been served with an eviction notice from my landlords. I didn't see a way forward, I didn't see a way out of it. So I decided, I just tried to end it all. It was actually my landlords who'd mentioned Christians Against Poverty. They fast-tracked me, and my debt coach, Jim, arrived in my doorstep. Nobody had crossed the threshold. I'd been living there, I think I'd been there nearly 2 years. So the biggest difference that Christians Against Poverty's process made for me was that it was house visits. By the July of 2016, I got that wonderful telephone call from headquarters at CAP, where they said, "Mr. Moss, you are now debt free," and played the harmonicas, and that's one of the greatest sounds I've ever heard. I then went on a CAP event where I came to faith. This lady put her hands on my shoulder and prayed for me. Just felt an overwhelming sense of calm and peace and love and warmth that I've never experienced before. And I just knew that what it was, and committed my life to Jesus there and then. On a Sunday, I can't wait to get up for service. I just love the church family that I've got. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're closer than blood. And we support each other. We live our lives for each other. We're there for each other. And I praise God and thank God for that day that I now know he watched over me when I tried to end it all, and he said, "No, mate, you're not going yet. You've got lots to do." I just felt such an overwhelming sense of wanting to give something back. It's turned my life around 180 degrees, completely structureless to, you know, having a real purpose in life now. Both of my sons, in conversations, saw the difference that coming to faith had made to me. Daz came up first. He's in minor crime, so he'd been in and out of prison. Anyway, he came to the service, sat at the back, listened intently. We happened to be having that evening some baptisms in Newcastle, so he chose to come along and get baptised. And I've never felt so proud in all my life. It was the proudest moment. Sorry. Obviously, it was a tragic situation for us, for the family. But the blessings for me, personally, is that he's found Jesus and he's been taken to glory with his Maker, and he's sat up there and he's looking down on us, and I'm sure he's proud of what his dad's doing. Life can still be tough, but I know that I've always got my church family around me to support me, and I know that I've always got Jesus as my best friend, and as it says, my superhero.
So Simon's life was completely transformed, and there are loads of other stories like Simon's story. So as I kind of bring this to a close, I'd just like us to spend a little moment just reflecting on what you've heard this morning about poverty in the UK, about the work of CAP, about why we do what we do, and the impact that we have on people's life, like Simon's life. And I want to give you an opportunity to give to us as well this morning. I know that your collection's going towards that, and that's fantastic. But I just want to give you that opportunity to become a life changer. So we have, it says, over 30,000 people who are life changers. They are people who give on a regular basis to CAP in order that we can do the work that we are doing. People do that because they believe that God has called us to be generous, not just with our money, but with our time and our lives. And if you could just give £5 a month, you could change someone's life for good. You could help bring about that transformation. A gift of £5 a month could actually bring life-changing solutions to someone's life. It means that we could give them their advice about getting out of debt. It means that we could train churches to deliver a job club, which is one of our services, life skills group that we, as another service, CAP money courses, there are other services as well. So £5 a month could help provide people like Simon the community they need, the practical help they need to rebuild their life, and that opportunity to discover the life-changing love of Jesus. So if you, let's just have a moment of silence. Well, actually, Tom's just going to play quietly for us. We're not going to sing, we're just going to listen. And just sit there and prayerfully ask God what he is saying to you. Is he saying something to you personally about being involved? Do you think your church should be involved in some way? Do you think that you could give regularly? And on there's other options. You know, if you want to give £50 a month, you can do that as well. And if you do think you want to give, please hand this back to me before you go today. So let's just take that moment of quiet. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the one who loves us, that you have grace and mercy and compassion for us, that you died to save us from our sins. So we thank you for your generosity towards us, Jesus, and we pray that we might be a people that reflect your generosity to those around us, to our friends, to our families, to those in our community who are lost and need to hear about Jesus, or feel that they are the last, that no one is listening to them, or are lonely and need to feel there's friends and community around them, that they belong, who feel that they are the least, that they're not important. I pray that you would help us to know that you have called us to be your people and to reflect your light in our communities and to show Jesus to those around, both in the way we are and the things we do. And I pray for this church, Lord, that you would show them what it is that you are asking them to do. Whether you're asking them to be involved in CAP in some way. And we thank you in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to finish with a song, which I don't know if you know, but you can join in it as you get to know it, okay? It's called The Summons. And also, if you want to talk more to me at the end, please come over and chat to myself or Graham. If you do sign up to be a life changer, you get a free copy of this book, Nevertheless, which I think, Tom, you said you'd read already, which is how CAP got started, okay? I'm sorry we've run over a little bit, but I invite you to stand and we'll just sing this last song together.